Let's get her going, everybody. How's it going? 6:10 on the dot here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this second day of December 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to, actually, a little bit of light snow started to fall around the city. That will change to showers at some point, probably this morning, because temperature's going to be on the rise here to a, relatively speaking, warm day. 6 degrees. 6 will be the high a little bit later on, so a rainy day ahead. But then we're back into the colder weather starting tomorrow. Sunny, windy, -4 for the high tomorrow. Saturday, sun, clouds, some flurries, -6. And then for Sunday, periods of snow in the forecast. And again, a high of -6. As you wake up this morning, as we get started, we are sitting at 0 as we say good morning and hello to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Just a second, Jer. I'll be right back. I want to make sure that Hammer's made enough coffee to get us through 4 hours. So,
hey, before you start,
yeah,
I got a tweet last night from a listener by the name of Ian that just read, "I hope you guys aren't going to start the show with a tee ha ha fun fun." He wants right to the bad stuff, like right away. Like, just sounded like he wasn't going to sleep all night. He wanted to go right to the bad news.
Our bread and butter is the tee hee ha ha stuff.
I can get fired up once in a while, guys, but like, there's a certain point. Like, I don't even.
You've already reached your breaking point.
I don't.
It's 62 games to go.
It's not even a breaking point. I don't even.
You feel bad.
No, well. That's debatable.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I will be sincere.
Feel bad for the fans.
I will be on that set, Hammer. I don't feel bad in a sense of, because where this organization at is all self-inflicted, all of it, every single little bit of what has gone wrong with them is all internal. But in assessing it, yeah. Anyways, but here's what I'll say. I'm going to reset here.
Hang on. Hang on to the tee. Just a second. Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
I was going to say driving in this morning.
Yes.
I don't know how your drive is, guys, but one of the real keys here, and I have started wearing my eyeglasses because it does really help me identify not only the signs, but there is a tendency in the market between the hours of 5 and 5:30 for a lot of people to be wandering around. And, you know, unfortunately, the one fella today was kind of on the sidewalk. He's on the street. So you got to be careful of him. And if you notice that the people, and I respect it, it's getting a little cold outside. The people that are crossing the streets early in the morning really are not cognizant whether the light is red or green.
I don't think they care.
It's a great point. Yeah. So my point is you just have to be, you know, you got to be super alert. And, yeah, that was kind of my drive today. I found myself, you know, navigating around. And
your radar was up.
Very much so. Yeah, okay. Very much so. Kind of taking the safety drive in. And nice, smooth one, though. I got to admit, with the new snow tires on, feeling pretty good about the, you know, the beautiful vehicle.
Shawnee safety.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
All good.
All right. That's all I got.
Okay.
Coffee's going. I got some water.
Hey, Brittany is 40 today.
Britney Spears?
She no longer needs to be freed either.
Okay, but...
So. Well, she can celebrate full on here.
Well, no,
she
no.
All sorts of cash.
But has it finally been settled?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Last week, 2 weeks?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Did you watch the Free Britney documentary?
Yes.
Yeah, didn't really understand and really how legally that ever came to be, right? I mean, that's basically supposed to be people on their deathbed, is it not? Or people with a serious illness at the end of their life where somebody's able to take over your estate and never get it back. So, yeah, good for her.
Yep, crazy stuff.
Yeah, right. Will she go back to Vegas?
Well, she never started, right? She was going to start a little residency there.
That's right. But she's realized all the cash is going to go to him.
Exactly. So she said she walked off. I think it was supposed to be the grand announcement of her residency.
Okay.
And then she just no-showed.
I would assume right now, boys, if she gets out and hits the road on a tour, we're talking mega bucks, right? Like, people right now would have an appetite for her. No?
I don't think so.
No?
I think going back to Vegas and probably trying to strike a new deal there, that's where she needs to
be. CTC, baby. Cash them checks. Wherever the money's the biggest, go do it. Mm-hmm. Go do it. Anyway. All right. Before we get to the bad stuff, because I know people are you know what? I totally get it.
We're not even going to take a break first before we get to
the bad
stuff.
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll be kind of set it up here. I did want to remind everybody that today's a big day for the folks downstairs. Well, for all of us here in the building. It's the annual CTV Morning Live Holiday Helpers Food Drive. So they're downstairs at 87 George here in the market. So if your travels this morning normally might take you this way, they are raising food.
for the Ottawa Food Bank and also taking cash donations. So that's maybe the easiest way. The food bank always says every dollar that is donated, they can make it work as $7. So any donation is multiplied by 7. So it's a big day for us here in the building and certainly a big day downstairs. So if you can, if you're in the area, would love for you to stop by. They got a big one of those giant containers out front taking all the donations. But, of course, as well, you can donate. And we'll give you all the details throughout the morning, but donate cash as well. All helping out the Ottawa Food Bank. We always want to remember that this is a tough time. This time of year is always a tough time for a lot of people, but in particular with what we've gone through for the last 20-plus months. So any way that you can help out would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it really is, Chair. And again, we talk and you see during COVID and everything else for the average person where food prices are at. You put into the stress of the economy, inflation, everything else. And I thought it was very cool, guys. And I hope I have this right over the weekend. One of the stories that was out was on the Ottawa Mission. And I don't know if it was over at the NCC. It must be NCC, but I see where they have their own farm, JR, which I thought was really cool, right? Where they're growing their own, you know, fruits and mostly vegetables probably. But I thought, hey, what a, makes a lot of sense that if you're trying to do that, and they do such an incredible job of taking care of everybody that is very much in need year-round, right? I mean, this isn't just about the holidays, but great thing there and great thing with Toy Mountain as well.
All right, 6:16. We're going to take a break, and then we can come back by Ian's request and by many of you. We will get into all of the details. I can't tell you that last night was rock bottom, because you don't know when rock bottom is until you start going in the other direction. And I can't sit here this morning and tell you that it can't potentially get worse than it is right now.
I mean, you got a pretty good feel for it, though. You did predict a victory.
I told you it could be indigestion.
I just saw that this morning.
I said, like,
you got to go back and delete those types of tweets.
No, I said it might be indigestion. And then I also tweeted out later a little picture of the Tums for the tummy, some Pepto-Bismol. I was obviously clearly wrong. I was expecting a response.
Yeah, that reminds me of what I used to play. Like, the morning of a game, I would have zero idea how it's going to go for me. Like, zero. Like, and most times I assumed it wasn't going to go well, but sometimes it would go well. I'd be like, this is good. Feeling pretty good tonight.
All right. This is going to be a morning all about your feedback. We'll certainly, of course, hear from the coach and the players after the game last night. But really, at this point, what is there to say? They don't have any answers. So if you do, we'd love to hear from you. This will be a good morning as well. It's not that we don't take them, but a lot of people share their thoughts via text, and that's always the easiest way, and it's a good way. If you want to do it that way, you can do it, but love to hear from people on the phones as well on days like today. Love the emotion on a day like today. So if you want to do that as well, we'll keep the phone lines open for you all morning at 750-1200. We've got, of course, some winning for you, but it's all about the Sens, who fall 6-2 to Vancouver. And it ain't getting any easier. They're right back at it tonight on the road against one of the best teams in the NHL, the Carolina Hurricanes. So we'll come back. We'll talk all about the Sens when we return right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. I see it's nothing that a little blue rodeo can't fix for you, huh? Welcome back, everybody. 6:22 on this Bow Friday, Thursday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Yep, it's another game night again tonight. You get to go through it all again. All those emotions you were feeling last night, you get to live through it again tonight as the Sens are in Carolina for a 7 o'clock face-off, 5 o'clock pregame show here on TSN 1200. All right, before we get to your reaction and tons of it coming in already, let's quickly review last night's game. And you knew, well, at least I had suspected, and, you know, blind optimism, I guess, whatever it might be. I thought, okay, 5 losses in a row, few days off, though, back home. Okay, I don't know if I'm expecting a win, but I'm expecting a good start. Let's take you to less than 2 minutes into this game.
Puck is held in by Tanner Pearson back in that Garn with a quick turn. Garland with another quick turn back in front again. Scores! All alone in front, untouched, was Tanner Pearson, and the Canucks have a quick 1-0 lead.
Yeah, all that was missing there was the Gordie Wilson groan over a missed assignment. The new guy, Adam Gaudette, deciding, I think I'll just stand beside the guy standing in front of the net all by himself. Victor Mete getting turned around like a turnstile in behind the net. A comedy of errors in their own end to start the game. That wasn't even the first good chance Vancouver had, but it was a template of what was to come. Several defensive breakdowns for the Sens, and by the end, it just became a laugher, actually, quite honestly. 6-2 is the final. The Canucks beat the Sens.
Yeah, and I thought the kind of point of the night there is when Luke slash Bobby Orshen broke in off the wing, and I don't know if that's what he's wearing Dion Phaneuf's equipment. Here's what I noticed, Jer, as it got going, and this is a feeling out process in a new season. I think Vancouver, by late in the first period, realized, wow, we're pretty much capable right now to do whatever we want, right? The pace and inability for Ottawa, 0-4 check from Ottawa, some type of a neutral zone trap where you stand there as five guys and then let the team go through you, and then I'll meet you in my our zone. No, I'm not being, no.
That's where we're going to break you down.
Yeah, let's meet back in my zone, and then we'll get together here, and then we'll just start running around. You start circling the top of the circles, we'll collapse around, we'll fall down a couple of times, and then the puck will be in the net. And I'm being sarcastic, but is that what you see as well?
Yes, who doesn't see that?
This
it's comical,
this trap or whatever this is supposed to be. Wow. But anyways, that's what kind of the game that was feeling on. I mean so the Ottawa there, what'd he say?
Well, you just ran out of words.
That's unlike you to run out of words. No, because I was 3 hours and 35 minutes to go. I was blanking on the Garland fella's name because he's somebody we've talked
about.
Just
say the little fella.
Okay, but he was the one yesterday that he just, you know, and again, very talented, very skilled. You know, he just started to realize there is just a ton of open space here. And all of a sudden just starts wheeling and dealing. And, you know, JT Miller certainly has been a very nice pickup for, and that was another one there. And that's another player, unfortunately. I mean, Vector Mete for what is supposed to be a capable defender, because it's not an offensive player, has just shown at the NHL level, unfortunately, he's just not capable of doing it. He just doesn't have enough size and whatever else to kind of match what deficiency he has.
Yeah. You know, I'll be the first to admit, I thought at the end of last year that Mete would be a good guy to bring back. Didn't say, oh, he's going to be the part of the a Stanley Cup contender one day, but thought he would be a serviceable guy to kind of a bridge player, as it were. And, man, he just has not been very good. Not only is he getting walked now with some degree of regularity, he doesn't play with any – he doesn't have any size to begin with, but I need to see some competitiveness.
Yeah, and everyone's overwhelmed right now, JR. You know, and that's a part of, if I've been a part of bad teams, actually played on bad teams, and the energy just filters through everybody, and now all of a sudden everybody looks like they're struggling. And then you watch a guy like Gambrell, since he's come over. I know that the Gaudette ended up scoring yesterday. These players could not be more minor pro physically. Like, you watch Gaudette and you understand, JR. I don't care if it's one game. I don't care if he scored. I mean, he's not physically capable to play center ice in the National Hockey League. And you go back to Abramov, Balcers, and Schlappick. I like my ABCs. The quality of player that they used to recall was far better than players like this that they're picking up that are just adding to the misery of, you're thin already, and now you're realistically bringing in guys that aren't even close to being capable NHL players, and you're just filling a roster on a bad hockey team.
It felt like as the game went on that the players themselves just became dispirited. Like, it has reached now a point where I don't get the sense that there's a real fight back. And forget all this jazz where a couple of guys were jumping on a couple other guys. There really wasn't much, in my opinion, much fight back in that game last night. It just appeared like, as you said, Vancouver was just going to do whatever they were going to do, and the Senators were incapable in any way whatsoever of answering the bell. And let's remember, the Vancouver Canucks have been a terrible hockey team this year. This isn't like you're getting schooled by the Carolina Hurricanes and the Toronto Maple Leafs of the
Colorado
world.
Avalanche.
The Colorado Avalanches of the world, okay? This is a team that has been struggling big time, and they were made to look like the 77 Montreal Canadiens.
I also introduced the worst penalty kill in the National Hockey League. And I will say, though, on Demko's side, that save on the 5-on-3 was, you know, that's what we saw a couple years ago in the playoffs. And I'm not going to say that's a turning point, guys, but, you know, that was just a great save. But not a very good penalty kill, not being able to exploit players. And I agree. And again, you know, I'm basically looking at this right now, Jared, kind of my summation is, if I'm an organization from the top of the hockey ops down, I am quite simply figuring out, how do I regroup between now and basically January 1st of trying to either, you know, stabilize my roster, turn something around, regroup, you know, focus on energy. To your point, not only they run out of energy and kind of spirit, but it was just as simply that, hey, you know what, you can only chase for so long, right? I mean, that's all Ottawa was doing last night, was, for the most part, was chasing the hockey.
As we've said, well, as I've said, I don't want to speak for everyone. It feels to me like DJ Smith has run out of answers. He's been asked the same questions in the same ways over and over and over again, and his answers really don't say a whole lot. Last night after the game about the frustration level with his team.
It's obviously really high. I mean, you're battling. You think you're in a game. You know, if you're heading in 2-1 in the third period, you know, you got the other team thinking, you know, you know, we just let them off the hook. So it's really frustrating. You know, right now, you know, we just got to stick together and find a way out of this.
Well, you think the Vancouver Canucks were really thinking at 2-1, uh-oh, the Sens are still in this game going into the third period. Like, no.
I think they were. That's why Luke Shen decided to go Bobby Orr. And then, like, that. On. There's a guy that should not play in the NHL, JR. And if he's walking Alex Formanton and taking a power move to your net and scoring to make it 3-1, that's a bad look right there. I wonder, Formanton's got to be pretty close, guys, to go into the American League, no?
I think so.
You know, I mean, you're at a point there where, and that's a, just for the sight of, you know, he's hanging around, he's hesitant. They're playing a system now that doesn't even lend to his skill set.
What I system?
Mean, well, that's what I point. Yeah, exactly. But the whole thing.
There is no system.
I know.
Watch the goals last night. They show that end zone cam.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
How often
the one
is
from the high slot. And this is.
How often is the middle of the ice in the Ottawa zone wide open all the time? Like the Horvat goal, which was whatever it was, the fifth or sixth goal, where Hughes comes into the zone and he just. It's just like, like this. It's like a bunch of NHL players playing against a bunch of peewees. And Horvat is just la 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 coming down the middle of the ice. He walks right into the middle of the slot and wires into the net. Like, so, come on.
Yeah. But some use the theory you want the goaltender to see the shot.
Let's get to some of your reactions.
Don Cherry used to say, hey.
Go and get your stick in front. All right. He's long gone. All right. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone lines are open for you at 750-1200. All right, let's get to some of the early morning reaction. People want to get stuff off their chest. Bring in Jacques Martin. Get a person in here who knows some structure. That's from unsigned. From SETI. Sends cash out the door for this team as an NHL team, not including buyouts, and Matt Murray is 32nd out of 32 teams in the league. Should we expect anything else than a 32nd place team? Not to mention cash spent on management, coaching has got to be 32nd in the league as well. JR, you need to start using the term steamship more often. That comes from SETI, C-E-T-Y. Thank you, SETI.
The steamship. And the other allocation, JR, and this is the difficulty in building any hockey team, but certainly from Murray, and I'll even say when White was in the lineup, but between that, mixing a little Delzato action to Tierney to Zaitsev, you know, you're up to about $20 million on, you know, players that quite simply are not having any impact in your lineup. And I don't care where you are, who you are, that's going to bite you, especially when you are a salary floor team. I mean, that's money very, very poorly spent that is not having any impact. And quite simply, in watching Zaitsev this year and away from Shabbat at any time, it's one thing to not play well. You're actually taking away from the process just by the amount of chaos that you cause.
Rob writes, morning, guys. JR, I'm a little perplexed about your tweet yesterday saying you're worried about a panic trade to save a job. I believe that you are in favor of extending the general manager so that panic trades wouldn't be made to save jobs. Well, the GM got his extension, so I'm not understanding where you're coming from and would be interested in hearing your opinion on this. Thanks. Have a great day. That comes from Rob. Well, Rob, to reiterate to your points, was I in favor of the general manager getting extended? I was in favor of the general manager getting extended in that he and the owner cooked up a plan to completely blow up the team and rebuild it. And from the perspective of doing that, he did that. He did what he and the owner had agreed they would do. So from that perspective, I did agree with the contract extension. I'm not going to be disingenuous and say that I didn't. Now, that being said, I also did not expect 20 games into the season for this team to be 4-15-1. So whatever I said in the summer and in the fall is off the table, I think, with everybody else's prediction. Anybody who says that the jobs of the general manager and the coach and anybody else and any player are safe, I think is fooling themselves. Yeah. They can't be. How can this be? Yeah. This is the worst team in the NHL that is absolutely, if not scraping rock bottom, is still heading in that direction, God forbid. How can anybody's job be safe at this point?
Well, and you're also now getting in the way of development. I'd even look at Stutzla, and I'm not saying extreme to send him to World Junior, JR, but you're starting to really get to that where you're looking around and saying, hey, is it good for a young player to be in a situation like this? Also, one of the things you've said and have been consistent on is that as a general manager or coach, and we said this about Montreal, and they say something about Dorion, either Dorion's your guy or he's not, right? I mean, you don't have him hang around like Mark Bergevin in the final year of your deal. Now, I don't agree that Pierre Dorion's done a great job, and I don't agree that, you know, I have certainly opinions on whether he should still be there, but hey, you go into a year, if this is your guy, great, if not. Now, a lot of this came when McGuire showed up on the spot, and now everyone got contract extensions. We'll see how it plays out. I'm very curious behind the scenes. I can't imagine that ownership would allow or go down any path at this point of making any type of Matt Duchene or any type of crazy trade.
Worry about that, though?
Oh, it's funny. It's not really on my radar, but anything's possible, Jer. Like, that's the other part I will say. I mean, I have no idea. But
I think anything's on the table
well,
right now.
Well, it isn't. You're right. You know, as I said, nothing would shock me at this point with the Ottawa Senators. The question, quite simply, would be is, yeah, I mean, what is that? Like, in the smartest way, you're terrible right now. What do you get a little bit better and then move your pick down a bit? Now, you do want to be a little more respectable, but you're right.
Simmer, though, we're at the point now where it's job-saving time and it's every man for himself.
Yeah, for sure. That's
and
a great point.
Nobody's throwing a life preserver for overboard for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
You're in the mode of how do I survive myself right now, which is a dangerous play. A place for any franchise to be.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. But that's also having a McGuire there right now, and around. You know, how does that affect it? What is going on behind the scenes? I mean, yeah, as I said, there's just nothing that would surprise me. And from a hockey standpoint, you know, whether somebody's let go or whether you make a trade, as I said, I would regroup and I would certainly look at a way to kind of augment my roster. But that certainly wouldn't be based on waiver claims right now.
Bill writes, the two Pierres will switch positions soon. That's my prediction. That comes from Bill, from Dave in Saskatchewan. Time for the coach to go. From unsigned, sure glad the rebuild is over, LOL. Serious question. Does Pierre Dorion know how to construct a hockey team? He's a first-time GM with limited experience. Sure looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. That's from unsigned. And from Derek, I feel bad for Melnick. He held up his end of the bargain. He paid who he had to pay and extended the staff. Mm-hmm. Gross incompetence by management, especially Pierre Dorion. His revolving door of fourth-line vets is a joke. That comes from Derek.
And that's one thing that, JR, that I think should be talked about as well. And again, I know they're not spending to the cap, but in the proper process of bringing in younger players where you have the luxury right now of a number of your best players are on entry-level deals, in buying out Bobby Ryan, then signing Dadonov, which was a dud. Now you got out from underneath it. Where did you spend the money? Well, it's hold and it's not much else. But absolutely, if you go through, a lot of the money has been spent. I mean, they carted in Matt Murray, who last night spent the night on the bench in Utica, New York, which is a beautiful place in early December. You know, you go through it. Oh, I totally agree. And let's also, in breaking down Pierre Dorion, longtime amateur scout, the team that went to the third round of the Stanley Cup Finals was Brian Murray's team, minus Mika Zibanejad and a second-round pick for Broussard, Burrows, and whoever else. Like, basically, it was that.
Victor Stahlberg.
Yeah, Victor
Stahlberg.
He
was good.
He was, absolutely. So, and, you know, maybe throwing a little pie at action. Burrows on a nice three-year deal that you had to buy out.
Tommy Wingles.
Yeah, Wingles, a Wingle jingle. That was Brian Murray's team. They got a coach for 1 year that worked, then the coach was awful. Now you've gone into a rebuild, which when you're rebuilding, JR, a lot of things can be looked past, right? You're kind of like, you know, it's just part of the rebuild. You're tearing it down. You can look past this. Now as you start to remodel the home and you start to look around, well, yeah, it's not a good look on Pierre Dorion as far as what he's done as a general manager, other than amateur scouting, which I give him credit for because he does run the show. The amateur scouting and development has been excellent. The rest of it is turning into a full-on gong show, including the coaching staff. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you did you end up watching the third period or did you pack it in?
No, I went to bed.
Okay, they showed the other guys had a shot of the pregame skate yesterday morning, And again, I don't want to overread anything, but sometimes the video speaks for itself. So it's the management group, which is Peter McTavish and Pierre McGuire, and I don't remember who the other person was. And they're all kind of sitting together, you know, at the top of the top of the 100 level, and a complete section over, sitting by himself, is Pierre Dorion. And again, picture could be worth a thousand words, might not meet anything, but it was one of those ones you look at it and you go, you know. I don't know what to say, but it was very telling.
You know what that moment is there, JR? You're taking a phone call. Like, I'm being very serious. Yeah. So, like, you're not separated from the group in a sense. And that, the time
of year. Are you taking a phone call, though, where you don't want the people that work with you to be privy to it?
No, you just want to be more comfortable at times. I've been at the rink and I've been around general managers. It's more common, first of all, if you're having a conversation, a lot of people like to walk around. But you just, and even when I worked in the National Hockey League, if you're in a war room, a lot of times the general manager would go to his own office, take a phone call. There were odd times, but yeah, it's not that you don't trust anybody, but it's just you're more comfortable. And also, if you're expecting a phone call from the big boss, you know, hey, you kind of want to handle it there. Maybe you're talking about a trade, you know, it could be lots of other things, but that's the only thing I would say on something like that, is that that's more a moment of, you know, you're just waiting on something or something's going down. And like I said, a lot of times you just feel a little more comfortable. And let's be honest, if you're getting a call from Mr. Melnick, and if you're Pierre Dorion, you probably want to go cruise around and kind of try to collect your thoughts.
The people in the other section may hear it anyway.
Might be loud
enough.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? Like, that, just having been there in those situations, I'd kind of want to be, hey, like to be in my own little space here.
All right, some more texts. Feel bad for Melnick. If you knew how he treats his staff, you'd probably want a mulligan on that take. That comes from Unsigned. We all know the defense is a mess, but there has to be some sort of structure regardless of the personnel. Next year, we'll see younger legs and D-men that can actually play, and Shane Wright is a real possibility. From Alex, I'm sad that I'm watching Shane Wright highlights at 6:30 in the morning on a Thursday in early December. And from Ryan, do you guys think we'll hear from the general manager or the owner at some point? That comes from Ryan. Well, that's a great question, Ryan. I would hope so. I would have hoped it would have happened by now, actually, particularly from the general manager, but it hasn't. You know, they conduct their business the way they want to conduct their business. We can't tell them what they should do. We can give them advice, give them some advice earlier in the week that I think it's time for someone to speak up, because I think the head coach right now is out of answers, and I think he's being made to answer everything, including the mistakes of others, and he's just kind of twisting right now.
Yeah.
I think it's you've talked often about how you have to be supportive of your coach. I don't sense there's any kind of support. I think they've kind of hung him out to dry, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that DJ Smith's done a great job. I don't think that he has. The play on the ice is terrible.
Yeah.
And he has a major role in that. But this is a team effort. They're in the place they are because collectively they've done what they've done. So I think collectively you have to take responsibility for it. It's not just on one guy, in my opinion. All right. With that, we welcome more of your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Again, phone lines will be open for you all morning. You want to get it off your chest? If you just want to just get it out there. It's like a therapist couch with no charge. Absolutely free. All we ask, no swears. Okay? That's it. 7-5 and hammer applauds.
Absolutely no swears, please. I handle that enough on my own. Don't need the good listener to help out.
750-1200, star 1200. You want to weigh in by phone as we continue along. Again, Canucks win it 6-2. Right back at it tonight. Sens in Carolina for a 7 o'clock faceoff right here on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back. 6:45 on this Thursday morning. Sens game day. They're back right at it in Carolina. Last night gave you indigestion or worse. I can't speak for tonight. Maybe just don't eat before the game. Maybe that'll be easier. 5 o'clock pregame show here on TSN 1200. If you wanted really an exclamation point on what went down last night, let us bring you the sixth goal of last night's game.
JT Miller cutting in. Miller goes back and scores!
Yeah, well, okay. Not a lot of description there.
JT Lemieux.
Yeah, went right down the middle of the ice. Four guys. Yeah. Victor Mete ends up looking the worst of all of them on that. That's just, it's just horrendous.
Yeah.
horrendous is the only word I can use to describe the defensive posture of the ESNs on that, but a perfect, explanation and picture of what's wrong with this team. Their inability in so many ways to play without the puck a quarter of the way through the season. It's just inexcusable, undeniable. They are hapless, hopeless. I don't even know. I'm out of words. I'm out of words, and I got 3 hours and 13 minutes before we turn things over to Steve Lloyd and Chris Stevenson on In the Box, unless they want to come
in. We either bring them in early or Hammer, you take over. Last year, quarter way through the season, after coming off what the manager said was the best training camp he's ever seen, JR, you know, the best ever in all the years he's worked in the NHL, first quarter of the season, the coach decided to call Pete DeBoer. I guess he didn't talk to Pete all summer, but he called him and asked him, what are you doing on your defensive system? Because I'm still using the antiquated system of Mike Babcock. So they switched it. Now I don't know what they've switched to.
I'm asked this question honestly. What is it that they're playing right now? Are they playing the way they did at the start of last year? I haven't seen enough NHL practices to be able to define.
They're trying to play the way that they played when they corrected things, but it just ends up being the mass chaos, inability to leave your own zone.
So why did it end up kind of working? Was it just that the other teams last year just weren't very good?
Oh, I think so, Jared. That's why I said down the stretch last year, I just didn't put much into Calgary and Vancouver and even Montreal in the sense of, it wasn't really there. And, you know, they got a little bit better. Sure, they stabilized things, but this was the whole thing coming back this year. Now the real pressure is on. Like the end of last year, it's always that throwaway hockey that scares you, and sure, it stabilized a little bit. And then you also ask from a personnel standpoint, not that it's a huge difference, but little bits, and Pinto had come in, and no doubt that they're missing him. But if a 21-year-old center is going to ruin your season, and I'd also say even for the play that Riley had given them up until the deadline, although he was gone after that. But I think it just goes to, you have a system in place. You are certainly lacking talent. There's no doubt about that. But then is confusion and everything else. And this is part of, from a coaching staff, and it's one thing to say you want to play a system, then it's implementing, teaching it. And I look at what Sutter's doing. I'll go back to, of course, Barry Trotz taking over in the Islanders. And they did go that year from the worst defensive team, right, to the best in the National Hockey League all in one season.
Yep.
Like that, you know, those are...
With not a huge turnover.
No. And I can conceptually, as a coaching staff, I mean, you can have all the theory in the world. Do you have the ability to implement that? And at the same time, from a practice standpoint, how much are you trying to really put into place? But, you know, right now it is a combination of injuries. It's a combination of fatigue. It's a combination of losing. Everything right there now is just leading to absolute mass chaos.
Matt writes, good morning, lads. What upsets me the most about the loss last night is this team wasn't even fun to watch. In the past, the losing was almost acceptable because the guys had each other's back. They played with heart, kept themselves in games. Where's that gone? When players regress from a specific style to what we saw, that's a lack of trust in the coach. Honestly, my daughter's U11 team has more structure as a fan. I don't think I've ever been more embarrassed for my team. That comes from Matt in Perth. And specifically on last night, Matt, I do agree with you. I like that appeared to me like a team that has lost its spirit. And again, I'm not counting a couple of scrums at the end of the game. I judge you by how you played as that entire game played itself out, and that was a dispirited bunch. Why are they dispirited? Well, in part because they're losing all these hockey games. But part of me has to ask, have the players lost faith that the coach is going to help them emerge from this and that management is going to somehow, some way, be able to find some help for them to help them out of this as well?
Yeah, I don't, and that's a hard one. I don't really look at the team, JR, and feel like all of a sudden they've quit on DJ Smith. But again, I'm not around the team.
I don't want to use the word quit. I think they're looking for answers from the coach, and I don't think the coach has the answers.
Yeah, but here's one of the real issues, boys, when you come into, you know, and you go back to Ottawa Senators and an expansion team. When you get into a swirl like this, and there's no doubt that the Brady Tkachuks and Thomas Chabots and Norrises and Bathursons and guys that know they're going to be here long term, they care. You want to build something in the organization. You go through the rest of your roster, and even for where Tierney is at, real good pro, JR. But what do you think, honestly, the mindset of Holden and Sanford and guys that know they're not going to be here past this year, probably past the trade deadline? Like, how many of their thoughts are, when do I need to get my house up for sale? When are, and I'm being very sincere here. Like, you don't have any buy-in. And when it goes so far south, what are you supposed to do on a daily basis? Am I supposed to run around like Mark Borowiecki and try to fight everybody? No, what I'm going to do here is actually try to get through to the trade deadline before I'm moved and actually be healthy. Like they'll buy in for those players, and they're not bad people, but it's only human nature. If I'm Sanford and I just won a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago in St. Louis and I'm flipped to the worst team in the league, what do you think your mindset is coming to the rink every day? You think you're rolling through like, oh, this is the best thing ever? No, it's just, hey, I'm going to bide my time here, and I'm going to get moved to the deadline, and then life will move on. And when it goes real south, though, those players go even further south.
Neil in Westboro writes, good morning, guys. Was at the game last night. What an embarrassing performance. I've been to louder libraries. Can we please stop with the future looks bright talk? This team will be lucky to hit the 40-point mark. Cheers. That comes from Neil in Westboro. Well, I can only speak to, I do believe that there are aspects of the future that are bright. Some of the good young players that Simmer just, I mean, yeah. We're all aware those are really good young players, foundational pieces that should be part of a team that gets better. I think what, I can only speak for myself, what I'm surprised at is, again, this year that all of, or not all of, but most of the pieces that they have chosen to surround the good young players with are just not good enough.
No,
for a
no.
bunch of, you know, like the misidentification of NHL caliber players and then the inability of the coach and the coaching staff to coach them up is a perfect storm of ineptitude that we're seeing on the ice right now.
Yeah, no, and, you know, from the coaching standpoint, you go back to the whole Zaitsev thing and you look at that. Who would have coached that player for 4 years and thought that that's what you want to bring over? And what general manager in the NHL would identify him as an elite shutdown player when there was no indication analytically, visibly at any point that that's the player you had? Now you take him away from Thomas Chabot, and on a nightly basis, he provides mass chaos. You go up and down the lineup, as you just said, for what was brought in and what is supposed to help out. And I'm assuming Tierney is back to being injured again. But as I said, between Tierney to Zaitsev to Murray to White, even when he was playing to Delzato, JR, you can't have $20 million in veteran players that cannot even help your hockey team. And in a lot of ways, one being in the minors and the other guys. I mean, Delzato can't. Like, imagine I went to you in the summertime. And Murray, I don't even. Murray would be an offense for a general manager to get let go based on itself.
Do you think, just as a brief aside, what, and don't what? Lose your train of thought. Okay. You think Matt Murray, when he got back in the dressing room after the game in Utica last night, turns on his phone and is scrolling through there? Yeah. Do you think there's just a wry smile as he looked through the scoreboard from the NHL from last night?
No, going, there would be
kind of glad I'm not there.
No,
right
no,
now.
Not even glad, but just hey, you think that the problems are me, and you know the problem though, and I do have a problem with Matt Murray. Is it was deflating? Is that he actually had provided some stability this year at times, and then all of a sudden he get hurt or he let in a bad goal. Oh, but as an athlete, when you've been embarrassed and sent down, and I still couldn't even get over that debate yesterday of how many people that supposedly know hockey do not understand what's going on here with Matt Murray. Like, he was sent down on a rehabilitation vacation. This guy was sent down, removed from a group as a clear message that they want him to go down and play. But back to Delzato, like, do you imagine that I went to a guy that was on a two-way contract, is on his ninth NHL team, and I offered him $2 million US a year to come in and sit in the press box? Like, how would you, like, I don't care if you're the richest person on the planet. How would you explain that to somebody? And then the odd argument will come through. Well, they have to reach the salary cap floor. Man, if that's your logic for building a hockey team, that you have to give away money to get guys to come here and have a guy like that sit in the press box. Like I said, you go through these lists, and it's always worse, JR, obviously, when you're struggling. But no, there is a major issue. And you look at the series of moves by Pierre Dorion since he took over, starting with Zibanejad and a second-round pick for Brassard. I mean, you don't have to look. I don't have to document it or say
there's some
it.
Bad ones. Now, you know, there have been some good ones, too. I mean, we can't just the team's in a very poor place, and a lot of it has to do with the players the general manager has brought in. No doubt about that.
Sure,
but there
sure.
have been some good things, too. We can't just say it's entirely been bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The drafting and development and the general manager.
The Carlson trade is a home run.
Yeah, and the general manager's in charge of bringing in those picks. So from that side of it, like I said, they're elite. I think they're the best in the National Hockey League. But no, on the other side of it, though, it's amongst the very worst in the National Hockey League.
And that's the hardest part, I think, for everybody to sort of wrap their head around. How can they be what appears to be really, really good on one side of the aspects of building a hockey team and so dreadfully poor on the other side? It's mind-boggling to me.
Well,
how can you look at junior-aged hockey players, project them out, and say, you know what, that guy's probably going to be a good NHL player, which is what drafting is at the end of the day, and it looks like they've chosen a lot of good young players. It remains to be seen. And yet guys who are established NHL players, you look at them, and they can't play anymore, and you continuously keep bringing them in.
Yeah, well, that is fairly simple, JR. They're two completely separate entities. I mean, look at the Montreal Canadiens. That's the amazing part there. Overall pro scouting and the trades that were made versus the drafting, you really do operate depending how it's set up. But I think the case of Mr. Mann, and both the Manns for that matter, your amateur scouting group is completely separate entity. Even when you generally hold your meetings, you hold one for pros and one for amateurs. So that's why there's a difference.
No, I get it. But at the end of the day, Simmer, we're talking about identifying good hockey players.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And I know some of them are, you know, on the amateur side, it's about projecting out. And on the pro side, it's about, I don't know what it is, but it's about seeing what you see.
Yeah.
But it's about finding hockey players. I just don't think it's that different. You've lived it. I haven't. Yeah. I just look at it as an outsider and I go, it can't be that different. Yeah. You're just talking about finding good hockey players.
Yeah.
All right. Continue to share your thoughts. We've got lots of them coming in. We'll do it throughout the morning with you. We're like therapy. That's what we are here this morning. A lot of people. Last night appeared to be kind of the breaking point, I think, for a lot of fans. So that's what we're here for this morning and all day today, leading you up to another game tonight. Get the Pepto-Bismol out. All right, so 7 o'clock will be the game time, 5 o'clock pregame show. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone lines are always open at 750-1200. We'll come back with hour two of this extravaganza when we return on TSN 1200.